This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star
Safari. Welcome to Why Space with Harry and Sam.
We've had a very busy week. We've had Carterton Space Week, which has been running from the 5th of October until the 11th of October. And it's been, wow, quite a week. We've had more than 1,000 people involved in our events. And it's what a really special week it's been.
Yeah, so we would like to extend an enormous thank you to everybody who participated in the Carterton Space Week. It was almost incredible to see that people came and they enjoyed it and they did all the activities. We had rocket launches, we had quizzes, we had planetarium shows, we had an astrophotography night session, we had an astrophotography day session with Mark G and Paul Mallinson from here from Carterton, who's absolutely amazing, and Ian Cooper, who's the president of the Phoenix Astronomical Society. And of course, everybody knows Mark G. And so the three of them complimented each other. It was such an amazing day. And then we had a career day that was just fantastic. So we had all these rangatahi who came to the event center and got to meet super special people who work in the space industry.
So it was such an amazing week. And none of this stuff is possible without a lot of work by a lot of people. And so Carterton Space Week was put together by Go Carterton, which is the Carterton Businesses kind of Chamber of Commerce. And so Go Carterton is a great body that represents a lot of the businesses in the Wairarapa. We have a lot of members. And earlier this year, we decided that we're going to do a couple of big events, and one of them would be the Carterton Space Week. So Go Carterton got behind that. We sought funding from Wellington NZ and the Carterton District Council, and we got funding from both of them, which was actually made the whole thing possible. So that was awesome. And of course, a lot of other people helped out. The folk on the committee for Go Carterton, of course, did a lot of volunteer work. We had Peter. He did most of the graphics, the design, and the classic icons we've got. It's amazing. And the really cool photo board that's sitting outside of Carterton Event Centre, which you can put your head in the circle and it looks like you're an astronaut floating in space. It's lots of fun and really, really great graphics. And big thanks to Ply Guy for providing all the wood and the building expertise for that. We've also had some awesome wine provided by Erla Winery. We've had Simone Grayson's been incredible.
She's been just
putting
wonderful.
Everything together, getting everybody in the right place at the right time, all the gear.
Shepherding cats.
Yeah. The Carterton Event Centre for their fantastic help. Most of our events have been done at the Carterton Event Centre. So they've been awesome helping us moving stuff around, putting up all the noise we've been making, getting stuff ready. Absolutely brilliant. It was such a great community. Who else we had? We've had yes, helped us out. Probably loads of
Wellington NZ.
Wellington NZ, yeah. Of course, and Carterton District Council.
Jacinda Johnson.
Jacinda's done some amazing work. David Hedgley, who drove all the way down from Auckland in his caravan. He came and did a talk on celestial navigation, which was really big turnout for that. That was absolutely fantastic. And, of course, the other visitors that came up from Wellington for the careers night, we had the New Zealand Space Agency, we had Ekaterina. We had
Ekaterina as a space doctor.
Well, Philippa Gander, of course.
Philippa is
absolute legend.
World's leading chronobiologist. And if you don't know what that is, it means a person who studies sleep patterns. So she's looking at sleep patterns.
She basically told us that doing astronomy is like real bad for your health. So, don't know about that.
just do it data crunching.
Yeah. So staying up late at night looking at stars is not good for humans.
She said, as long as you can catch up on sleep for the next 2 days and sleep as much as you want, that would be like the perfect holiday,
it's
wouldn't
like
it?
When smokers were told that smoking's bad for them, but they kept smoking, they go, oh, I'm going to keep smoking, I don't care. Astronomy's a bit like that, eh?
Like,
I know it's really bad for you, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, there's not finally a reason for people to say astronomy is bad for you. It's not really astronomy, it's just stargazing.
Yeah. So what a week, and we had great turnout. So the rocket launch, water rockets on Sunday at Carrington Park. The sun came out. It was supposed to actually be not good weather, but like Carterton always does, the forecast is always worse than what actually happens. So we had heaps of people. I think it was about 300 people came out for water rockets. We launched 116 rockets because we kept a little record of each rocket getting launched. It was epic. Water rockets were going like crazy into the sky. I was surprised Airways New Zealand didn't ring us up and tell us to NOTAM it for the aircraft flying past. There was so many rockets. If anyone from Airways is listening, don't worry. Nothing went very high. Highest was probably about 20 feet. So we didn't breach any CAA rules. But it was a lot of fun. So, you know, the kids came out, they designed their rockets. They put nose cones on them. We had a little stone that they could put for a bit of weight on them. And then we took them to the range, pumped them up, and launched them. It was great fun.
It was an amazing week. And again, we'd love to do this again next year. The first year, a year ago, it was Lou who actually organized everything.
Mm.
She held the fort. She went and put posters in windows and got people to do events and coordinate. So a huge shout out to Lou as well for starting the whole crazy Space Week wonderfulness.
And it's such a cool thing for us to do here in Carterton because, of course, Carterton's in the Dark Sky Reserve. And, you know, this is one of the things that World Space Week, you know, does and promotes is dark sky reserves around the world and really supports that. But this year's World Space Week theme was space and climate change. And this is what we sort of covered a little bit in Carterton Space Week as well. But one of the big things was our support for the Dark Sky Reserve locally, which is pretty important. And, you know, not enough is talked about our Dark Sky Reserve locally. There's not a lot of publicity on it. There's not a lot of discussion about it. And we try and push it as hard as we can, educating people about it, always banging on about it to everybody we meet. But the Carterton Space Week is a great opportunity just to bring the Dark Sky Reserve, the benefits of the Dark Sky Reserve, just back out to the front of people's minds again. So we don't forget, because it seems like, you know, we established this Dark Sky Reserve a couple of years ago, and what's happened? Not much.
We don't even have signs.
We still haven't got signs. So we thought, right, let's light a fire under this. And, you know, this is a great chance for Carterton to take a leading role and say, actually, this Dark Sky Reserve is pretty important to us. Let's do something that celebrates it, but also let's see what else we can do for that, you know, open it up wider and see what other opportunities there are for space sciences and even the, you know, the growth of the aerospace industry.
And it turns out actually being in the Dark Sky Reserve is really good for your health, because as Philippa was noting, it's really good to not have blue light at night. And I mean, we were kind of like kidding before with the stargazing. It is okay if you have yellow light, and it's okay if you
can't
have on your sleep and red light. But blue light is the one that is damaging to everybody, because our clocks, our biological clocks are designed so that if we see the slightest hint of blue light, and blue light apparently goes through your eyelids, you wake up and then you stay awake if you see blue light at night. And that messes up with your internal systems and your biological clock, and keeps you, it disturbs all the cycles, the natural cycles that the body has. And what Philippa was saying is that you have to have a really good night's sleep, and you can have a good night's sleep in a dark sky reserve. You have the best night's sleep, and because it is dark, because it is quiet, because it is fresh air. So it is very important for us to connect with our environment on that level and have this really good hygiene for sleep. And she says something really funny, which I like so much. She said, If you are thirsty, you go and drink water. You have to. If you are hungry, you go and get food because otherwise you're hungry. But she said, if you're sleepy, you're considered lazy. So she said that's not how it works. She said if you're sleepy, it means that you really need sleep. Like if you got to that point where you are feeling sleepy, it means that you
Yeah,
really need
need to
your
have a
sleep.
nap. Yeah.
And so she's pretty amazing. She wrote a book called Night Owls and Early Birds. It's for sale online. Really good book. Highly recommend it. We have a few copies of it. We sold a few. We gave a few away to people. And Philippa is absolutely amazing. So, and she said she would love to come back here and Wairarapa. She lives in Kapiti, so not too far away.
There's really great opportunities for our young people in this the space sector, the wider space sector. So that includes, building things like rockets and launching them and that stuff, like Rocket Lab does. And actually, interesting, in the last week, Rocket Lab's been awarded a contract by NASA to look at investigating a sample return mission to Mars. So this is all about getting these samples that Perseverance rover's been collecting over the last wee while and bringing them back to Earth so we can really have a good look at them. Now, there's been a few hiccups with the sample return plans to date. So NASA's obviously looking wider afield at different providers, and they've asked Rocket Lab to come up with some costings and a plan. So it could well be that Rocket Lab do the sample return mission, which would be pretty amazing. So hopefully they get it quick. So it's a great opportunity. So the other thing that's happening, of course, is with the space sector, there's a lot of jobs opening up in both engineering and research, and production of equipment, production of things like high precision machining, all of that sort of stuff. To and so these are the things we spoke about at the Careers Expo. So we had lots of our young people come along to that. I think we had probably about 80. From just around Carterton, Masterton, big group from around Carterton, which was awesome. So they got to hear from the New Zealand Space Agency. So we had Hawani and Ruth, who came from the space agency. They drove over the hill and gave a really good talk about what the space agency is up to, the kind of things that they're doing, the sort of things they're interested. But more importantly, it's the opportunities that they're creating for our young people. And one of the really cool things that they're creating is the opportunity to do interns at NASA. So next year they've got 7 paid internships at NASA. So they'll pay to get you over there, put you up in the accommodation, and you get to work at either NASA JPL in Pasadena in Los Angeles, or at NASA Ames, which is a bit further away. So there's a huge opportunities. Now we're really lucky this week. We had Michaela Dobson, who works with us quite a bit in Spaceward Bound and within the New Zealand Astrobiology Network. She was a NASA intern at JPL last year, and she did a lot of research. So she's like proper scientist, got out there and did research in the field, supporting some of the work that JPL are doing for their rovers and Mars exploration, particularly in the area of geology. So Michaela was able to talk to some of our young people and talk about, the value that the experience, the internship at Ames had for her over the last year that she's been back. So that was pretty cool. Ruth gave us a little bit of a talk about the space agency's policy direction, but that kind of stuff they do, and it sort of really opens your eyes to the sorts of things they're doing. You need policy people, you need lawyers, you need all these different fields when it comes to talking about space and the job opportunities are there. Of course, we always get focused on the astronauts and stuff like that. Ekaterina and Philippa, they both come from the human factors. How do you keep people alive in space aspect? And Philippa's history in it is staggering. She spent decades working in human factors for both space and in the aerospace industry. She was the chief scientist, I think, for about 13 years or 15 years at Delta Airlines. And she worked at Ames for a long, long time. Ran a lab at Massey University, written loads of books, just published lots and lots of articles, heaps and heaps of research into all the effect of sleep and the effect of light on our sleep. And her presentation she did on at actually at our Business Connect event was really amazing, real eye-opening sort of stuff. But as Harry was saying, it's really cool to let the accommodation providers know that one of the things we can sell is a great night's sleep here in the Wairarapa, which is pretty cool. We had on the Saturday, we had an amazing series of talks, and Hari touched on them, but it was by three astronomers and astrophotographers. So Paul Mallinson, he's a local. He does incredible photography of planets. He took us through some of the amazing stuff he's done on Jupiter and Mars. And you see that he's showed us these videos where he's basically created a video of Mars rotating and Jupiter rotating. It was so cool to look at. You can see these planets rotating. It's quite amazing. And the work to go in to create that is staggering. You've got to collect thousands or hundreds of thousands of images to put that together to make a video to see the planet actually rotating. It's just staggering what you can do. He did that from his backyard. You know, with modest telescope, I mean, good gear, but, you know, fairly not giant research grade telescopes, but with, you know, telescopes you can buy and you can put in your backyard. And he did this from Carterton. It's just incredible. So here we are. We've got these videos of planets rotating from Carterton's backyard, which is phenomenal. We had Mark G come over from Wellington. Mark G, of course, is a world-renowned astrophotographer. He's, I guess his famous one, and if you've never seen it, there's this one where the moon is rising over, I think it's Mount Victoria in Wellington, and silhouetted in front of the full moon are a bunch of people walking around on top of the hill there, and you watch the full moon rise, and it's just absolutely brilliant. So I think he said he had 11 million hits on that YouTube video over the last few years. So that's really what you know, propelled him forward and people to notice his work. And of course, his work is incredible, famous for these big, you know, nightscape photos of the Milky Way and stuff. But he took us through what he's been doing more recently, and that's starting with photography like in rock pools underwater, photographing what's going on underwater at night in these rock pools, and then transitioning to the skyscape, so seeing the beautiful stars and Milky Way. And the work is amazing, really, really difficult photography, because you've got different lighting requirements underwater versus you know, out of the water and looking at the sky. But he's managed to figure out how to do that, how to have these incredible pictures and these incredible videos. So YouTube's stuff, Google it, you'll see absolutely incredible, it's actually mind-boggling stuff, actually, how he managed to do it. And he took us through the equipment he uses, quite elaborate. And of course, probably because of him, astrophotography has got really popular in New Zealand. So a lot of people are really into it, which is great because, you know, people are into astrophotography. They're looking for dark skies. They don't want cityscapes and stuff in there. They want the nice dark skies. So it's a great way of popularizing the requirement and the need for dark skies. Then we had Ian Cooper gave a talk. Ian's the president of, as Hari mentioned, the Phoenix Astronomical Society, also the Horowhenua Astronomical Society. Now, he talked to us about some comets, and he's been looking at the comet that's been visible early in the morning for about the last month. He's been photographing it just about every day. Every day he can get out there. He drives up the valley, Pohongana Valley, where he lives, and he takes beautiful shots of it. So, well, he doesn't live in Pohongana, but he's near there. So, and he sort of drives up that part of the country and has a good look, gets some great views of the comet. But he told us about that comet and what it may do as it's passing around the sun. And of course, by the time this is played, it would have gone around the sun and it'll be visible in the evening. So I'm hoping we get some really good views of the tail of this comet in the next couple of days. So as it's just sort of gone past the sun now, so it's visible in the evening. Might even have a look tonight, actually. It'd be quite cool. But there's chances another comet coming in the next few weeks. And this comet, the one that's coming, is a family of comets that have produced what we call the Great Comets. And these are comets which have had huge tails stretching right across the sky. And in some very rare cases, their tails have even been visible during the day, which is pretty phenomenal. We're not saying this is what you're going to see, but there is a small chance that may happen. And comets are notoriously fickle. Someone mentioned it at our astrophotography day and talks, and it might have been Ian who's saying comets are like cats. They have tails, but they do what they want. So you can never really predict whether they're going to give a big show or they're just going to fizzle out and not do much at all. And in fact, in the last couple of years, we've had, you know, quite a lot of excitement and hype around comets that have kind of fizzled out into not much at all. So you know, you've got to keep an open mind on these things that it may or may not, and just kind of take with whatever happens. It's the universe. The universe will deliver whatever it wants, like a cat. But if it does, you know, we could be in for an amazing show with this. And of course, you know, the sun's at its peak at the moment. Well, we're pretty close to its peak. So we're getting a lot of storms on the sun, geomagnetic storms and auroras. You know, last night was a pretty good aurora. There's a good chance there could be an aurora tonight. You know, we're going to probably see a few more of these before the solar maximum's out over the next 6 to 12 months. So it's pretty good time to be getting into astronomy. The evenings are getting longer, so you've got to stay up later. We've now into daylight savings, so everything delayed by an hour. So it now astronomy's moved back into its normal field of staying up really late. As you know, as opposed to the winter when you can do a couple of hours astronomy before 9 o'clock. Now it's the other way around. You've got to wait till almost 9 o'clock to get into it. But anyway, if you get the chance, get outside, have a look, see if you can see the comet, especially in the evening. Look in the direction where the sun sets. You might see it there. You'll certainly see Venus there, and Mercury will be appearing shortly in a few weeks. And of course, you'll see Jupiter in the morning, nice and high. Jupiter rises about just after midnight now, about half past midnight at the moment. So around that time, you'll see Jupiter in the eastern sky. So, well, that's us from Y Space. So have a great week, clear skies, and you'll hear from us next time.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.